Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is a lady who is a terrific director and the artistic director at Buffalo Theater Ensemble. Say hello, Connie Candigay Howard.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Well, I really enjoyed Rabbit Hole.
Thank you.
It was a terrific show, and it's kudos to you guys for doing it for the folks in the western suburbs, particularly after the Goodman did it not too long ago, and they did a terrific job. But I'll tell you, your production stands right up with that one.
Thank you so much. We think so, too.
Tell us about Rabbit Hole and why someone should take the ride out to College of DuPage to see the show.
Sure. Rabbit Hole won the Pulitzer last year. And it's interesting, I think, anyway, that particular script won the Pulitzer because there's nothing particularly earth-shattering about the plot line. What is really remarkable are the relationships between the characters. They're dealing with a tragic event in their life that happened 8 months ago and dealing with processing that. So in many ways it's about grief, but it's also about hope and renewal of spirit and how human connections help us to move forward. I don't think move on, but move forward, because I think grief, just like joy, becomes a part of the fabric of who we are as individuals. And it is, in very subtle and simple ways, I think it speaks to nearly everyone who sees it in a very personal way for them. Certain scenes will affect some people more than others. Occasionally somebody will say to me, is this a really depressing play? And certainly there are moments that are very emotionally full and difficult. But overall, it's really about the capacity to survive and to help one another.
I couldn't agree more, and it shows how different people deal with with guilt and forgiveness and how it affects family relationships. There's some terrific characters. Tell us about a few of the characters.
It's wonderful. Probably the characters that we get to know the best are Becca and Howie Corbett, who are a couple who have lost their 4-year-old son 8 months earlier. And they're a couple that very much love each other, but they're processing differently. And they definitely want to help the other person and love and support the other person, but the other person isn't always doing what they need them to do. And they're a young couple, and then we meet Becca's side of the family. We meet her younger sister, Izzy, who is a very colorful person, always has been a very colorful person. Becca was the more responsible person growing up, and Izzy, who's in her mid-30s, probably for most people seeing the show will say she's somebody who still needs to grow up. But she definitely, the sisters adore each other. They just don't see the world the same way.
And she's quite a funny, colorful character.
She's wonderful, and Cindy's wonderful playing her, too. And then we meet Izzy and Becca's mother, Nat. And Nat also lost a son several years ago, Becca and Izzy's brother, in quite different circumstances. She lost him as an adult child. But so there's, in addition to having a mother-daughter bond, there's also the bond of mothers who have lost their children. And yet that bond is strained because they really view those circumstances quite differently. And then we meet Danny, who we never meet, but is a constant presence in the show. That was the little boy. We meet the young teen driver who accidentally hit him when Danny ran in the street chasing his dog. And that's a wonderful addition to the show, I think.
Yes, it is. And the young man that played him, I thought, did a terrific job. A very difficult role.
I think so, too. His name's Brian Bosquet. And he actually is a former student of mine. I'm also a theater professor, and has just started acting professionally in the last couple years. So,
well, he's got a nice future going because he had the subtlety of how a kid, the awkwardness, he had it down rather well.
I think he's great, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about some of the other cast members, because you are an equity company, and
yes.
you do have one equity actor in this show.
Yes.
So tell us about the young. I thought she's a star.
She's really wonderful. Like, yeah. Thank you so much for saying that. She is actually also our associate artistic director, and her name is Amelia Barrett, and she's playing the role of Becca, and acts often with us. She acts usually at least once a year. She did not act last year. She was cast in Noises Off, and then 2 weeks before we opened, she fell and broke her foot.
Oh.
So she and I switched places, and I was directing the show, and she finished directing, and I took over her role. But
that had to be fun.
It was fun. It was a little, you know, it was kind of Noises Off behind the set, too.
It's a play within a play within a play.
Yes, it was. But that's, you know, that's what ensembles do. They support in ways that you don't even know you're going to be able to support. But she's a phenomenal actress with a huge range. And in my humble opinion, having worked with her for really about 15 years now, I think this is one of her best roles to date in a very difficult role. This is the role that Cynthia Nixon won the Tony for.
That's right.
And Amelia's brilliant in
it. Yes, she is.
So.
And it's always tough to go in a role like that that's been established, you know, and as an award winner. That's,
right, right.
But the other cast member, I thought Brad Walker did a nice job.
He's great. This is the second time he's worked with us. He was the third man in Baltimore Waltz a couple of years ago that Amelia actually directed. And we could have cast the show several different ways. We had several wonderful actors audition, and Brad and Amelia had a certain chemistry, and I appreciated the fact that that their qualities, though they support one another, they are distinctly different individuals on stage, which I think has to be true for Howie and Becca.
I agree.
Brad's very understated and naturalistic, and a nice contrast to Becca's. Becca's need to make clear the things that she needs to make clear at the points that she needs to do it. So he's wonderful. And Cindy Tetmeyer plays Issy, and she's great in the role.
I think she's a real talent.
Oh, she is.
Very good comic, and she knew how to move from the comic to the more profound,
right.
Back to the comic.
Right. She definitely plays beat to beat to beat and is very connected with who she's on stage with. And yet Issy provides so much of the relief, because this is a show which I think is very true to life. I think that's really,
yes,
David Lindsay Abaire's strength, is that it's so very true to life. And, you know, you have to find a way to release some tension or you're not going to make it through the day, you know. And Issy provides a lot of that. Actually, I think all of the characters have a sense of humor, even Jason, the young boy. But Issy provides a lot of that, and the bond between she and Becca, I think, is very, very clear.
Well, you have one of our Chicago actresses in it, playing Nat.
Yes, Deborah Rodkin.
Yeah, we know her from, she was in Equus in Chicago and many other shows. She's terrific.
And Deborah has auditioned for us several times. She actually, years and years and years ago, we did a production of Lady Chatterley's Lover, and she came into the show after it had been in production for a while. She replaced a cast member, but we haven't worked with her since. We've tried to several times, and this was a time that worked really well. And she, you know, Nat has a prickly relationship with her daughter at this point. I think they were close, very close at one point, but because they really see Becca's journey in her grieving differently, that leads to a lot of controversy. And yet it's really Nat and Jason, the young boy, that allow Becca to finally start to let go a little bit so that she can start to heal.
Yeah, those scenes up in the bedroom.
Oh,
yeah,
they're gorgeous.
They were just outstanding.
They're gorgeous. And, of course, it's wonderful, beautiful writing. But the way that Deborah and Amelia handle those scenes are beautiful, too.
Well, when you walk in the theater, you know you're in for a first-class play, because one of the hints, and people don't realize how the impact it has, is when you walk in and see the set design. I mean, it's like you just cut the top, the you know, part of a house out. I mean, it was beautiful. It was very realistic.
Oh, you don't know how good that makes me feel, because that's exactly what we were going for.
I felt like wiping my shoes off to make sure I didn't get anything on the carpet.
Yeah, that Larchmont, New York is a nice place to visit, I think, which is where the play is set. It's a beautiful, beautiful set, and the fact that Danny's room is present, I think, is a lovely touch, and not done in every production. So, and the set designer's name is Michael Moon, and the properties designer, who, of course, adds much to that set, is Galen Ramsey, and costumes were done by Allison Greaves, and they're gorgeous. And lighting design is John Gant and Ariane Heinz. They were a great team to work with.
I know I gave your show a good review, and I think Barbara Vitello gave your show a nice review.
Yes, she did. Both of you did. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, we call it the way we see it. And I must confess, I don't get out to see you guys enough because, you know, you get caught up into so many shows, and then you realize that you know, you're missing something. Because The Woman in Black that you did, I understand, was outstanding.
It was,
and that's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
But so tell us now about Buffalo Theater Ensemble. For our Chicago people, mm-hmm. I know you guys are, you know, well-established and well-known in DuPage County out west, mm-hmm. but a lot of the Chicago and near suburban people aren't aware of what you guys kind of productions you do. So.
Sure. We're in our 21st season, and our mission is really a pretty broad mission. It's to explore human interaction, human relationships from a wide variety of perspectives. So we're definitely not going to be a commercial house, although we do comedies, but the pieces are going to have something to say about relationships that are in conflict in some way.
You also do some musicals, because I saw Into the Woods that you did a nice job on a couple years back.
Thank you. Yeah, Into the Woods was a lovely production. We don't do musicals often, but we do occasionally do them. We did Fantastics last year and had a good response from critics and audience alike. But primarily we do straight pieces. We do occasionally do a classic, but most of our pieces are contemporary. The rest of our season is Stones in His Pockets will open in early May, and then The Melville Boys, which is a Midwest premiere.
I don't know. I'm going to make sure I catch it. Stones in Your Pockets, with Appletree did it mm-hmm, a couple mm-hmm. years ago. Will Klinger and John Hogenacker.
Yes.
I tell you, that's a terrific play. You got to get a couple people who can really play Irish.
It's wonderful.
Who have you cast in that?
Sandy Smiley is an ensemble member, and he's playing one of the roles, and then Henry Odom is playing the other role, who has, you may have seen him. He has quite an extensive resume as well.
Yes.
So, it's being directed by ensemble member Brian Burke, and then in the summer we're doing Melville Boys by Norm Foster, which is a Canadian piece.
Is that about Melville?
No, it's set in Upper Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And it's two brothers two adult brothers are spending the weekend together at what was a family retreat when they were boys, and they meet two sisters. But it's really about learning to let go.
Okay.
And it's being directed by ensemble member Kurt Nabick, and Brian Burke will be in it. The rest of the cast is not.
Well, I can tell people that Stones in the Pockets is a very difficult play because both actors have to play a multitude of roles. It's very Irish and very funny.
It's very.
Yeah,
funny.
I know it's about making a film in Ireland.
Yes.
Yeah.
By an American film company, so they're also going back and forth between dialects. So, it's great fun. So.
Yeah, it's got to be a tour de force for both actors because it's, you know, it's very difficult. Well, that's great. And then you switch gears a little bit back with a Midwest premiere.
Yes.
That's how did you get that?
We've been looking at the script for a couple of years, and I just wrote the playwright, actually, and decided to go for the rights with his publisher, or with his agent. It's a lovely, lovely piece. And it's a nice counterpoint to the rest of the season. So,
well, you know, I've heard that before. Sometimes people say, "How did you get the rights?" And sometimes the answer is just as easy as, "Well, we asked for them." You know, isn't that true?
you know, he's a nice guy. He's
yeah, because a,
great
a lot
guy.
Of people assume, you know, that you can't get rights to shows. I mean, Timeline Theater has History Boys.
That's right.
You know, and that's a major show, and they're
that's right.
You know, they're a small company. I think they're going equity now, but they were a non-equity company, so you wouldn't expect that.
Sure.
Yeah. But all right, now tell us where you guys are located. Let's assume now that a lot of our listeners do not know where you guys are at.
Sure.
I can tell you it's not that bad. It's not that far a ride. You're just a little bit west of Drury Lane.
Correct, okay. Correct. If you're coming from the city, for most people, they're going to come out the Ike. And you're going to come out, and it will turn automatically into 88. And then you'll take 53 for just a little bit, 53 north, and get on Park Avenue. And we're at Park Avenue intersects with Faywell Boulevard. And we're at the Art Center at the College of DuPage. It's called the MAC, a big cement building. It'll be, the MAC is right across the front of the
yeah,
building.
Very easy to find.
Right.
I hadn't been there in a long time, and
right.
And I wasn't really paying attention too much, but I found it.
Right.
And parking is terrific. I mean, it's free
right.
parking, and you have
right.
looks like space for a couple thousand cars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it's a beautiful facility.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It's. I think you guys are on a par with a lot of the stuff you see in the city.
Thank you very much.
And is you're definitely, you know. The production values are worth it. This is not community theater, folks. This is an equity company that's been around. How long? How many years have you been?
21. It's our 21st season.
25. How long have you been with them?
I started working with BTE 20 years ago. I did my first directorial project with them 19 years ago. So, and then I became associate artistic in 95, and we formed the acting ensemble in 98. And then I became artistic director in 2001.
So you are in residency at the College of DuPage.
Correct.
But it's an independent, it's not a college.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we do often do, we take it seriously that we're in residence at a college, and we do often use students as part of our crew, or like I have a former student in this cast who's brilliant. So we do a lot of things with the college, directly with the college, but we are a separate entity in residence.
That's terrific. How did you? Well, I guess you teach there, but I mean, it's always hard to get a good facility, but that's great to get a college.
Right, right. They're very gracious, and we are gracious back, I think. I think what you said about being on par with many theaters, I think that's true. I see a lot of theater, number one, because I want to, and also number two, because I'm a part of the Jeff AT team.
Tell us what that is. A lot of people don't know. We've had people from the Jeff Committee on these broadcasts, but
oh yeah,
the A team. What do they do?
It's called the Artistic Team, and we're an arm of the Jeff Committee. We're not the Jeff Committee, but we're an arm of the Jeff Committee, and see opening nights and look for the artistic qualities in a production, and respond to that then with votes. I certainly don't see as many shows as someone on the Jeff team who sees everything, but I see several shows a month usually. It's a busy endeavor and really important, I think.
Yeah, I do too. It gives you a chance to see what's out there.
Right, right. So.
Well, let's talk about that because there's been some movements for the Jeff Committee to expand.
Right.
And I'm of course always in favor of that. And I know some of the suburban theaters were grandfathered in for various reasons, but I certainly think if the Jeff Committee does expand, that you guys should be a part of.
Well, we would certainly welcome that. Right now, one of the eligibility requirements to be Jeff adjudicated is 18 performances in at least 3 weeks, and we do 16 performances because of our contract with the MAC. We do 16 performances in 4 weeks. So that would certainly take a petition. And we're also...
But you would try, I got a feeling.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, because it's recognition, and you know, being Jeff recommended and winning Jeff awards certainly helps all theater groups.
It helps all theater groups in a number of ways, certainly in terms of publicity for the public to understand, but also in terms of writing grants, which, of course, all arts organizations need to do, including us. also, and there's also, depending upon how you're measuring the mileage, mileage from State and Madison, which is how the Jeff Committee determines their mileage, needs to be within a 30-mile radius. And we're actually just under that. But, it, you know,
that's interesting.
But depending upon, you know, which exit you take off of the interstate, it might be just over that. But the way that I measure it, we're just under 30 miles. We're at 28 point something.
Well, so, let's hope that I know there's a number of rethinking and some slight reforms that the Jeff Committee is talking about. Let's hope that they, you know, they expand a little bit and include you guys in. And I could name one or two more, but definitely you guys, because it's you guys are very professional.
Thank you very much.
And so tell us now about yourself. You said you're a professor, and you teach theater, I would assume?
Yes, I'm the director of the, I oversee the college theater program here.
Oh, that's great. So you have a lot to do with working with the students and picking
yes.
the shows. And so you wear
yes.
two hats.
Yes, I
do. Well, that's got to keep you busy.
Yeah, most people, though, in the theater are wearing multiple hats. So I don't think it's particularly unusual, but yes, I am very busy.
Well, that's good. You know, they say that's how you get something done, but get somebody who's busy and they'll,
right.
they'll get it done.
Right.
Do you still do any acting?
I do. I was in Noises Off last year, although I hadn't planned to be. And then next year I'm slated to be in a show with Amelia, who's playing Becca in this show. We're going to do Just a Couple White Chicks next summer, summer 2009.
So you still have the itch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's and that's got to be hard. I mean, can you, after being a director and running the show and the artistic director, how hard is it to go back and be an actor and have a director say, hey, you know, you don't quite have that, you know, got to do this.
I think that actually it's a very good experience for me because it puts me back in touch with all of that. I don't think every director needs to be an actor, certainly, but I am. I do think that I am primarily a director, though. One of the reasons I'm acting next year actually is that we've had several patrons ask if I will act again. So
that's a nice compliment.
It is a nice compliment, but I don't act very often, about every 4 or 5 years usually. So anyway.
That's kind of cute. Okay. I always ask this question too. And I'll kind of let you have two answers to this. What do you see yourself doing in 5 years, and where do you see Buffalo Theater Ensemble being in 5 years? In other words, your future goals, what things you haven't, you're aspiring to do.
Actually, we've talked about this quite a bit. I would like us to grow our audiences substantially. Although we have good audiences, I'd still like to grow them substantially. And we would like to... We used to do this, and financially it's a big encumbrance, but we would like to move some of our shows into Chicago.
That would be terrific.
We've done that several times in the past, but not for about 10 years, 10 or 12 years, actually.
Well, you got theater building,
right.
Victory Gardens Greenhouse.
Both of which we've used, yeah. So we would like to do that, and we'd also like to tour a little bit. Probably in the Midwest, but tour a little bit.
What are some of the shows that you would just passionately love to do that you haven't done?
You know, for a lot of theater people, they don't reveal that.
Okay. All right.
Only because then somebody else might grab it.
I can understand that. Because that happened actually on one of our podcasts back off, I think last year. I won't name the show, but somebody said, I'd love to do blank, and
yep.
someone else grabbed it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can
yep.
relate to that. What about you personally?
Some
of your goals?
Certainly, most of my goals have to do either with continuing to expand as an artist, you know, working in different genres and with different artists so that I'm expanding my collaboration skills. And that would probably involve some other shows I don't want to talk about.
Okay.
And certainly expanding the ensemble. Certainly our outreach, but also the ensemble itself. And then, you know, I have personal goals as far as family and is concerned as well. And part of that actually, you know, is a juggling game, because part of it is about finding downtime to have a life outside of theater. But
yeah, which, as busy as you are, I'm sure you have to really do some time management.
Right. I mean, I think everybody does today, but it's true for me too. So.
Well, that's terrific. What advice would you give? I'm sure you do it all day long in teaching. What advice to give the young actors, performers, people who want to get involved in theater?
Yeah, my advice might be different than some people's advice. My first piece of advice, which I do kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I am honest in saying it, is if you can do anything else and be happy, you might want to consider that, because it is a tough life. But if you know that this is what you fulfills you, that this is what it's a, I don't know what to call it, a calling maybe, then you should get training, and get as much, I mean, the training's not ever ending. Get training in body, get training in voice, get training in interaction, and continue that and work with a ton of different people in a ton of different markets so that you have, a flexibility that will make you competitive.
That is terrific advice. I couldn't agree with you more. Right, you have to have the passion and be able to deal with the rejection.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it's your calling, then go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is terrific advice. It's kind of the balance between your theory and reality.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for this interview. And folks, tell us now, like a little commercial for Rabbit Hole now.
Uh-huh.
Where it's at, what days you're running,
okay.
Phone number.
Okay, so Rabbit Hole continues its run Thursday through Sundays until March 9th. And Thursday through Saturday nights, the show is at 8 o'clock. Sunday, the show is at 2 o'clock at the Mackinac Arts Center at College of DuPage, which is in Glen Allen, Illinois. And it's a great show. I hope you can come and see it. You will definitely be glad that you have.
Yes, it's a very, very powerful show, beautifully acted, and it's just very professional.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And folks, go see a play this week. And thank you, Connie, so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.